This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on FCA Answers, managing at the Pentagon during a time of change. The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with FCA International. Welcome to FCA Answers. Between reduced spending, winding down two decade-long armed conflicts abroad, and new threats from different kinds of adversaries, this marks a time of change for the Department of Defense. Joining us today to discuss the business of managing the Pentagon in the midst of change is Kevin Scheid, the Acting Deputy Chief Management Officer with DOD. Kevin, welcome to FCA Answers. It's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Max. Glad to be here, and thanks to FCA for sponsoring this.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what your office does. It's not the management of the Pentagon is admittedly not as high visibility and activity as, say, the military side, the armed forces side. But what your department does, or what your section of DOD does, is actually very important to what folks in uniform do. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Exactly. Thanks. Let me put it in the context, because it is a bit of a confusing function, and the title's a bit confusing. Let me start with the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary. The Secretary of Defense, of course, is the senior civilian official who has the outward-facing responsibilities of the department, including engaging with the White House, the Congress, his foreign counterparts around the world. The Deputy Secretary has actually a couple different titles, and right now that's Christine Fox, and she has a responsibility for sort of inward-looking responsibilities. Mm-hmm. She has a title as Deputy Secretary, of course, but also of the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Management Officer, and those are in different statutes. But she is focused on running the business operations of the Department of Defense. Now, as you can imagine, as the Deputy Secretary, she also has to back up the Secretary when he can't attend cabinet meetings or NSC meetings or meet dignitaries, et cetera. So those responsibilities for business operations are pretty burdensome, and they've been delegated to a deputy chief management officer, and that's the position that I've been acting in for the past several months. And as you can expect, the department is a complex and vast enterprise. Mm-hmm. Just a few facts: there's 1.4 million active duty soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines. 750,000 civil servants in the department, 1.1 million Guard and Reserve members, and 5.5 million families and veterans that the department is supporting. Now, if you put this into perspective, you think about the size of our budget. We're half of the discretionary spending of the budget right now, and that puts us around $500 billion annually. That, if we were an economy, we'd be somewhere around the size of Sweden or Norway.
Is
in
that
terms,
right?
In terms of GDP, and yet the people, the war fighters, the civil servants that are in the department actually outnumber the population of Norway. So we have about 10 million that we're supporting and working with and have as employees, and that's quite a bit larger than Norway.
In your section of the Pentagon, Kevin, are there more civilians than there are uniformed military?
Good question. I'm in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, DCMO. The Deputy CMO has a office of civilians largely in OSD, Office Secretary of Defense. And that's mostly a civilian operation, yes, directly supporting the civilian side of the department, the secretary and the deputy secretary and the five undersecretaries. Mm-hmm. These staffs support those principles in the department.
Okay. Now, we had a chance to scan some of your testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, and, of course, Oversight by Congress is part of the job. You have to be accountable for what it is you and the secretary do.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the secretary's overall philosophy when it comes to managing the Pentagon. We had a conversation the other day, for example, where we talked a little bit about the fact that Secretary Hagel has, before he became a lawmaker, he had a background as a businessman. Does that kind of experience color, in your, as far as you've seen, does that color some of his philosophy behind running the Pentagon?
Absolutely. I see that on a regular basis, a daily basis. He, as you said, was a businessman in addition to being a politician. And when he came to the Pentagon, of course, it's a huge enterprise to manage and oversee. And he was looking at what are the management tools, what are the offices that do this. There's actually a split in the in management. We have two different offices, major offices that support him in overseeing OSD and a larger department. We have an office of the Director of Administration and Management, and then also my office, the Deputy Chief Management Officer. The Administration and Management office really focused on the immediate office around the Secretary and the Pentagon. My office was looking at the larger department business operations. So he wanted to pull these offices together, actually, to help support OSD and the larger department in its oversight of business operations across the department. That's one of the things he found, and some of the reforms that he's put in place just recently.
Mm-hmm. In the minute that we have left, does it help to have more of a business outlook when it comes to the side of the Pentagon that you work with as the Deputy Chief Management Officer?
Absolutely. At this time, when defense budget is coming down, we need to get. We need to manage in a way that yields the greatest effectiveness and efficiency as possible. And with his background and his direction, we're organizing ourselves to support that and to achieve those goals and to save money for the taxpayer.
Still to come, tracing the Pentagon's management org chart. You're listening to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.
AFCEA has been the association for global security since 1946. Experience AFCEA in action at its upcoming events. Coast Guard Intelligence Industry Day, April 2nd. Navy Information Dominance Day, May 7th. The Joint Information Enterprise Mission Partner Symposium, May 12th to 14th. And the Acquisition Research Symposium, May 14th to 15th. Many of AFCEA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with AFCEA's international journal, Signal Magazine. The March issue focuses on homeland security, Europe, and NATO. Further your education by taking advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training Package that includes 36 cybersecurity courses. Support AFCEA's STEM efforts by sponsoring a scholarship or joining AFCEA's Cycle for STEM team. Learn more and join today at AFCEA.org. That's AFCEA.org.
Welcome back to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio. I'm Max Cactus with our guest Kevin Scheid, the Acting Deputy Chief Management Officer with the Department of Defense. Now, Kevin, earlier in the last segment of the show, we were talking a little bit about some of the priorities of the secretary when it came to managing a huge enterprise like the Pentagon. And I know that, again, looking back at your testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, that one of his priorities was sort of shifting some of the responsibilities of the Chief Information Officer, Terry Takei, when it came to the underlying IT that supports business processes in the Pentagon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. The reforms that the secretaries announced on December 4th really help align responsibility and accountability in the business system space. Mm-hmm. My office has, over the past few years, been responsible for evaluating investments in business systems. And there's about $7 billion annually, either in operation and maintenance expenditures, but also investments in the department on IT systems for the business space. Now, that's a subset of nearly $40 billion annually spent on IT across the department.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Takai, is the Department of Defense CIO, is responsible for overseeing all of that. But there's been this carve-out of business systems that's got special scrutiny over the years in my office. So in the review that the secretary did and what he directed was that we better align responsibility and accountability for those business systems under the CIO. So now the CIO can have a holistic view of all of the business systems as well as the infrastructure that those business systems ride on. Mm-hmm. I think this is a positive step. It gives accountability in one place and a broader picture of those investments so that we can avoid duplication, that we can retire legacy systems,
mm-hmm.
And really lean out our investments in IT systems.
Let me ask you a question about that, because that always seems to be a challenge, no matter what agency we're talking about. I've been covering government IT now for about 6-7 years. And one of the big challenges is always finding the right tools. Do you feel in general, not getting into any specifics, but do you feel in general that there are the tools necessary to properly manage and to track the business systems of DoD?
I think we have the tools to track the business systems, although when we began to get involved in this, we took an inventory, took stock of it, and we found 1,200 business systems in the department that support the business operations, the systems that support those big processes, whether it's financial management, logistics, acquisition, et cetera, 1,200 systems. Most of those systems aren't large enough to meet the thresholds of the acquisition authorities of the acquisition systems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we monitor a large number of systems that don't usually get the scrutiny that would in our acquisition processes.
Got it. Now, in sort of a related note, again, your testimony to the committee talked a little bit about the Defense Business Council that was created through the mandate of the secretary, and then also the Integrated Business Framework. And those are two developments that have come along to help you and the secretary try to get your arms around what the business of the Pentagon is all about.
That's right. And these are two developments or initiatives of my predecessor, Beth McGrath. The Defense Business Council actually brings the senior civilians of the Office of Secretary of Defense together with the chief management officers of the military departments and services. So we have this council to bring those two large pieces of the enterprise together to have a discussion about what are the strategies for business systems, mm-hmm. what are the strategies that we should have for financial management, what are the processes we want to follow, and then what systems actually enable those processes.
Okay.
There's a bigger discussion usually about the process that we're following in financial management or logistics or acquisition, than just the system. It's there are people involved. We want to have timely decisions. There's also multiple agencies, multiple entities usually in these processes. One system, an investment in one system, has effects throughout the enterprise. So we have the Business Council to help us make sense out of that and rationalize those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The Integrated Business Framework that you mentioned is the sort of the discipline that we've brought to the business operations of the department. And we do that by working from our overarching strategy, which in the department is the Quadrennial Defense Review,
mm-hmm.
Interpreting that into a strategic management plan. Breaking down that plan into strategies in different functional areas, such as the financial management, logistics, acquisition, et cetera. And then reviewing the investments that the military services make with their resources against those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So we can begin to trace the investments from the larger strategy of the secretary down to the individual system and link it. So we go from strategy to investment. This is, again, a discipline that allows us to avoid duplication, unnecessary duplication, to bring about enterprise solutions rather than a Army or Navy or Air Force solution. Mm-hmm. And it helps, again, achieve efficiency and effectiveness in the business operations. And we think really saves money and avoids costs when we go through these disciplines.
Well, still to come, creating a roadmap for management change at DoD. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
FCA has been the association for global security since 1946. Experience FCA in action at its upcoming events. Coast Guard Intelligence Industry Day, April 2nd. Navy Information Dominance Day, May 7th. The Joint Information Enterprise Mission Partner Symposium, May 12th to 14th. And the Acquisition Research Symposium, May 14th to 15th. Many of FCA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with FCA's international journal, Signal Magazine. The March issue focuses on homeland security, Europe, and NATO. Further your education by taking advantage of Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward Training Package that includes 36 cybersecurity courses. Support FCA's STEM efforts by sponsoring a scholarship or joining FCA's Cycle for STEM team. Learn more and join today at FCEA.org. That's AFCEA.org.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Kevin, I wanted to follow up with our chat in the previous segment of the show and talk a little bit about the activities of acquisition and contracting. That's probably one of the largest activities in the Department of Defense. And we do know that your office is not specifically tasked with acquisition contracting. That happens under the aegis of Undersecretary Kendall and a bunch of other good people there. Yeah. But tell me a little bit about how your office aligns with theirs, because many of the things that the CMO's office does aligns with those activities and makes those activities possible.
It's a good question. As I said at the outset, my office is aligned with the Deputy Secretary, mm-hmm. who is the Chief Management Officer. And on behalf of the Deputy Secretary, on behalf of the CMO, we're looking out across the whole enterprise. And we have good working relationships with all the undersecretaries and really want to enable them to do their job as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure there's an enterprise approach to the work of the department. Because it's good discipline, it's best practice, and also it gives us an opportunity to lean out and make the enterprise efficient and effective. In that regard, we're looking at the best business systems to support the business processes of the department. Mm-hmm. I know this gets a little wordy, but we're not in the acquisition business per se, but we do guide and direct the department towards those systems that can best enable the big processes of the department. Mm-hmm. Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, Frank Kendall, is the secretary's principal agent for procuring those systems, and he enforces processes for acquisition. When those systems need to be procured by the departments, certainly his rules and his guidance is critical. But in terms of defining the business space and making sure that we have enterprise solutions, that's where my office can provide the guidance and direction on behalf of the Deputy Secretary.
Sure. Now, you've just delivered your annual report to Congress from the CMO's office. And in some of our previous discussions leading up to this show, you've mentioned how the Secretary is working to set the management agenda for the Department of Defense. You've already mentioned the enterprise approach that you want to take in terms of how that happens. Talk to me a little bit about what the secretary would like to do, or what his goals are in terms of shifting the way that the Pentagon does business and improving on the way that it handles the day-to-day management of the Department of Defense.
Yeah, thank you. The secretary, as I mentioned, when he came in, he saw two different offices working on management issues, my office as well as one other. And he reviewed this and had a careful deliberative process to review what is the best way to align responsibility, accountability in the department on business systems, on management of the enterprise. So he made a series of decisions on December 4th. I had a press conference and mm-hmm. Released some documentation and really tasked my office to do three things. One, to consolidate with the Office of the Director of Administration and Management and to build a new management capability for the department. One that gives him timely insights into the performance of the enterprise mm-hmm. So that we're delivering what the warfighter expects. Whether it's acquiring equipment, whether it's getting a paycheck on time, whether all of those processes, ensuring that the resources are there so that the warfighter is supported. So we're consolidating. We have plans for consolidating with this other office and building this new capability. A second thing that he asked was some analytic deep dives into the Office of Secretary of Defense itself. So that he has insights into and better data on the workforce, on the way we hire contractors and the way we bring contractors in, on the way we present the budget. And is it presented to him in a way that he can make strategic decisions mm-hmm. On OSD in the future? And he's asked us to look beyond just the Office Secretary of Defense into what we refer to as the Fourth Estate. And that's not referring to the media, of course, but it's referring to the defense agencies and activities of the department, which do not reside within the individual services, the Army, Navy, Air Force. Mm-hmm. And this is a large collection of service and technical agencies that the undersecretaries give direction to. But there's a role for a chief management officer for this Fourth Estate, which he's asked us to take a look at.
Interesting.
And then a third area was just to provide him oversight of the other reorganizations that he's tasked. He needs someone in OSD to sort of help him oversee the implementation of reorganizations in the five undersecretaries. And we're doing that as a service to keep track and monitor progress.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious, Kevin. The last two secretaries of defense, Mr. Panetta and now Mr. Hagel, have been former lawmakers. Does that, from your judgment, and you've been at the Pentagon for a little while now, does that help to have a secretary who is attuned to the ways of how Capitol Hill does things? Because I know that Secretary Panetta had a particular way of being able to prepare himself for budget considerations and things like that. Do you detect that also with Secretary Hagel?
Well, I don't engage with him every day and don't hear all of his conversations sure. and views, but I, as the acting deputy chief management officer, I am sitting in his senior staff meetings, and mm-hmm. and I see that it helps to have that perspective. He certainly is sensitive to the fact that Congress receives the information mm-hmm. they need to make their decisions. They're partners in the management, the oversight of the department, and he's given clear instructions of being responsive and direct and greater transparency. Mm-hmm. I think they're sensitive, both Mr. Hagel and Mr. Panetta, very sensitive to those needs on the Capitol Hill, and the way they manage, the way they act communicates that.
Sure. Let me wrap up our conversation here. Let me ask you what some of your insights into how management happens at the Pentagon, and how you approach your role as the deputy chief management officer. You have some past experience yourself in business, and I'm wondering what your hopes are, what you'd like to see in terms of how the Pentagon can do a better job with how it manages its resources.
Yeah, it's a difficult question. We always have to strive for the right balance in the Department of Defense. You know, how much security or should the nation have? So mm-hmm. it's always a struggle. It's a political discussion, and compromises have to be made along the way. You can't have everything that the military services or the departments need. So we all make hopefully informed decisions along the way. Mm-hmm. But it is critical now to have, I think, an increased focus on management. We're in an era of declining defense budgets. Mm-hmm. That's clear. And the Secretary and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs and others have made this very clear and articulated their strategy for that. Now, as the top line of the budget comes down, there's also internal growth in areas like healthcare, mm-hmm. Which is a large growth area, and also growth in maintaining the all-volunteer force. So within this declining pot of resources, you've got areas that are growing, and that really puts pressure on the warfighting capability of the department. And that's a serious issue over the next 10 years. And every effort needs to be made to manage better so that we don't waste any money, particularly in the back office and those major business operations. So that every dollar that we save through better management can go to the warfighter and the warfighting capability of the department. That's what we're all about, and that's where our priorities are, helping the secretary make those tough decisions on the management side so that we can really support and the warfighter, even in a time of declining resources.
Well, on that note, Kevin, I want to thank you for joining us today and conversing with us regarding your job. Our guest has been Kevin Shy, the Acting Deputy Chief Management Officer with the Department of Defense. Our special thanks to the AFSEA Defense Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search AFSEA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of AFSEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at afsea.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio.